Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
This time around, we're looking at magical talismans.
We'll talk about charms, amulets, and other types of magical objects we use, or wish we would. Wish we would like to.
Damn it. You're always fucking up the intro, Corey. Get your shit together.
Line. I wasn't feeling it. I'm method. Oh, hi, Lane.
Hi.
Yeah, so we script those intro things, and I went off script, and I think you all saw how that ended.
Me being verbally abusive.
Par for the course. You guys don't know what goes on.
I'm feeling very sweary tonight. I'll try to reel it in.
No, please do. I mentioned earlier. Yeah, so if we have young children listening, stop now. Because I was saying, like, just before we started doing this, like, there's a piece of me that was yeah, I'm gonna take a big dose of fuck it all tonight. So, anywho. That being said, I am glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're doing this. I should say that this seems to be one of those months. I think I've recorded no fewer than two or three interviews and like outlined two or three scripts for additional material. None of which is completed and compiled as of the time that we're recording this. So I've got tons of material for shows. And normally we get like, you know, a show kind of early in the month, a show kind of later in the month. And this one might be one of those things where it's like, you know, release two episodes one day after the other or something like that. Or maybe just one episode this month and kind of save the others. Who knows?
Right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I'm with you. This month has been really busy for some reason.
Yeah, it's crazy cakes.
It's just like, it's crazy. It's like every weekend comes up and I'm like, okay, I have this to do, this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
And then today was Daredevil Day.
Yes, I was saying like fully a third of our audience while we're you know, toiling away in the podcasting mines, you know, fully a third of our audience is binge watching Daredevil at this moment.
That's legit what we did today.
You are not the only people I know that did the whole, like, you know, taking off of work to binge watch. I know multiple people who've done that.
It's so good. And I love the actor. He was in Stardust, is what I originally saw him in.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. I just fell in love with that actor.
Yeah. So is it Bullseye that they're with this time, or is it Punisher?
Punisher.
I couldn't tell. Okay, so it's Punisher. All right. Cool. Well, that's interesting. That'll be an interesting kind of twist in this. I watched the first season. This is totally off topic, but whatever.
What if?
let me just take this extra pill. and. Like, so I totally watched the first season of Daredevil, and I was really moved by Vincent D'Onofrio's whole performance. Just loved it. It was really, really interesting. But, I don't know, it wasn't emotionally connected for me. That was good, but just not my... It wasn't quite there for me. But then I watched Jessica Jones, and I'm like, this is the best show ever.
Yeah, so, Jessica Jones was good, too.
So I'm super pumped about Jessica Jones season two, but...
I can't stand David Tennant, though. He really...
Really, he was my favorite thing. Ugh. I was like, oh my god, he's like one of my top three villains on TV.
I just don't like him as an actor at all. I don't know, like, several people are like, well, done with this podcast. Again, no judgment if you do like, because I like some weird actors too, but, or, you know, weird my estimation, but anyway.
You're like, I don't like Doctor Who, I don't like David Tennant.
Seriously, we're going to come for me.
You're like, you know what else sucks? Harry Potter!
No.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway.
Tom Hiddleston is an a-hole. Click. Wow, it's as though I felt 10,000 voices screaming at once and then they were silent, and then we were silenced.
Oh my god, you're such a dork, I love it.
Anyway. But so, the topic of tonight that we're coming to after 10 minutes of
preamble,
wheeling, rambling, is talismans, which we kind of barely sort of touched on before. Again, this is the month of, wow, that came up so quickly, and we didn't have time to do quite what we normally do, which is we normally would do like the looking back, and we'd kind of planned to do looking back at episode 13, actually, because that was our Lucky Charms episode, mm-hmm. which every time I say, I just want to say, oh, it's after me, Lucky Charms. I just can't.
I know, it's awful.
It's like a disease.
General Mills!
Boy, we are random tonight.
Yes, we are. Okay, let's get serious here.
Yes, so Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms. We did, you know, this episode on luck charms, things that we find kind of in North American folk magic. We did that back in episode 13, so it's been a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of hoping we would, you know, we would listen to it and then kind of discuss just for a few minutes, you know, well, what did we discuss then? What have we learned now? But that, I didn't get a chance to.
I didn't either, unfortunately. I really wanted to, but several things came up, not the least of Daredevil.
Well, we could prepare for our show and, like, care about our audience, but Daredevil, man!
No.
And like I said, I didn't either. That just, you know, life happens sometimes, so... but I will say, you know, we're going to link to episode 13 in the show notes. It's certainly, you know, as I remember it, we do cover a lot of different charms in there. I think we go through everything from, like, you know, four-leaf clovers and horseshoes and things like that mm-hmm. to, you know, some maybe some more obscure charms and some more obscure luck items.
I think maybe so, like, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff in there that's certainly worth going back and listening to. But we're going to kind of tackle this, I think, a slightly different way tonight. We're not really looking at luck charms so much as kind of talking about how talismans work or how we think they work, ones we've used personally, ones that we would like to use or methods that we would like to try for making talismans, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, again, kind of avoiding the concept of luck charms, and maybe looking at some of the other uses of talismans.
Yeah. I actually have my giant Judica Elish book, the Element Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells.
Oh, that one? I've never heard of that one. Is it good?
Oh, I don't know. It's terrible, terrible. Do not recommend.
We love it.
We actually do. So I wanted to read like a little paragraph from it about amulets and talismans, if that's cool.
Ooh, please do.
Okay. So she says, amulet and talisman are used somewhat interchangeably, but basically talismans are the archetypal, is that how you say that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, because I said cachet a whole bunch a couple episodes ago, and I meant cash because I say it cachet still in my head.
Sure.
When I read it, like, I usually only hear it read. And once my husband was like, you know it's cash, right? And I was like, I do now. So, anyway.
You never criticize somebody for mispronouncing words, because that means that they read it somewhere. That
it's
means they're
true.
Reading.
That happens to me. Okay. Side story, because this is who we are tonight. What was the word I would always mispronounce in my head? Instead of paradigm, I thought it was paradigm. That always cracked me up. But anyway, okay, getting back to it. Talismans are basically lucky charms, drawing some specific good fortune towards you, while amulets tend to have protective, preventative, or curative powers. Confusion derives from the tendency in the English language to skate over these topics very quickly. Other languages have specific names for every specific type of talisman or amulet, all very precise. Our word amulet is believed to derive from the Latin amuletum, meaning a method of defense or reminiscent of ammunition. So there are typically two forms of talismans and amulets, which are those that are written in independent objects.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, yeah. And I think that there's a third thing that kind of can get folded in there, which is the idea of like a written charm.
Yeah.
And that can get a little confusing too. So yeah, it's interesting. So really what we're talking about, you know, we've talked about talismans, and we're really more talking about amulets. But I think, you know, we'll still be talking about some talismans as well. They just may not be quite the straightforward, like, lucky charm version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and you know, she makes a really good point about the idea of like, so this is how they're used. So amulets are defensive, you know, magical shields, things like that. I know, for example, there are things where soldiers will carry certain Bible verses to protect them from harm. I'm trying to remember which ones. I'm going to actually kind of look that up. Give me just a second.
Sure.
Because I wrote a post on it, and you'd think I would remember which Bible verse. But I don't. But at any rate, and I can go ahead and say, mention one amulet that I know that I've used a lot is the evil eye bead, the blue evil eye bead. Do you know what I'm talking about there? Using that with a Hamsa hand, which is it's the little hand that where the pinky and the thumb are kind of even length.
Yeah.
Sort of curl off the side of the hand. And so I've used those a lot as protective amulets, mostly for my kids. Like I'll put them in the windows of my kids' rooms and things like that. So,
any reason for those specifically?
No, honestly, no. I think it's just that I happen to have a few of them, and they're just one of those things. I think the blue beads, the evil eye beads, is specifically because those are very frequently used to protect children.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I'm putting it in a child's room, so that was like, well, of course, why would I not? But no, it doesn't particularly relate to American folk magic. I see it related much more to Middle Eastern folk magic. Mm-hmm. You find it, for example, in like Turkish sources a lot, and some kind of Mediterranean sources. So it's not quite as like rural American folk magic, although, you know, America is a hodgepodge of lots of cultures, so of course it would show up here, right? So
that's true.
The 91st Psalm was the one that soldiers would carry.
Okay.
As a protective. And that's another way, you know, even like they might even carry little Bibles as protective amulets as well.
Yeah. She talks about how like holy books can become amulets and, you know, so sacred texts and then just a few books that she mentions, but, I kind of feel like you can turn anything into a protective, I guess, an amulet in this case. I keep wanting to call it a talisman. I mean, that's just kind of what I think of for me.
Well, maybe we should. So, yeah, I mean, we're using Judica's terms there. For our purposes, are we going to use that as the definition?
I think so.
Okay. So amulet is protective. Talisman is drawing.
Mostly luck, right?
Right, mostly luck. I mean, I think you could have a love talisman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you could have a love amulet. I don't know. Would you have a love amulet or a love talisman? Because I think you would have, like, a money talisman.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I would say talisman for love.
Talisman. Yeah, I think that's a good way to think of it. So one's more of a drawing. One's like a
shield.
Magnet, one's a shield.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I can see that.
Boom, done.
So, I guess the question I have with an amulet is, can anything not be an amulet? Like, if you were to take, you know, just anything and, you know, consecrate it, say a spell over it, you know, turn it into this thing for you that was special to you, is there anything that you can think of that, like, couldn't be one?
Flesh-eating bacteria. Probably not so good to wear that. Close to your heart. That actually, you know, I'm being flip, obviously. I would say living things. I don't think you can turn a living thing. I mean, which is really funny, because I think we're going to get into some mechanics, sort of like spiritual mechanics, and talking about this. But I don't think you would take something that's already alive and turn that into a talisman. I think if you do that, technically it's a horcrux all of a sudden.
Well, I definitely...
We just got the Harry Potter vote back.
I definitely wasn't thinking of anything living. Like, I was just thinking of things.
Right.
Inanimate objects.
Right. And I think you're onto something there in saying, like, it has to be sort of already devoid of animation. And I think part of the reason for that is that when you make something like this, you're actually animating it.
Hmm. So, for you, because I honestly don't know my answer when I'm asking this question, is it, are you like imbuing it with your spirit, with a spirit?
Well, okay, so that's that spiritual mechanics thing that I was talking about. And so, like, I'm curious to know that I think this is something we can kind of hammer away at for a few minutes and then try to figure out where do we stand on this. I've talked a lot about mojo bags as spirit houses, and I think mojo bags are a good example of something that is essentially a talisman in most cases, but it could be an amulet as well, depending on what you're using it for. And I talk about that, when I talk about those, when I usually am discussing them, I'm usually discussing them. They're basically spirit houses, right? They're, you put the right things together, and that's a way of inviting a specific kind of spirit to sort of take up residence with you, take up residence in that space, or to at least use that as kind of a gateway, you know?
I never saw it that way, though.
Okay, well,
But
how do you see it?
which is totally fine. I'm not like arguing with you or anything. I don't know. I always saw it as just kind of, I guess, like drawing that energy towards you, which I guess is kind of semantics on how we each view that energy.
Right. So yeah, I'm using the word spirit here, and you're thinking more like an energy or a sort of force.
Yeah. When it doesn't
Right.
necessarily have any sort of personification to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you're right. I think that's a difference of semantics to some extent. I do think there's a little bit of a worldview difference
Yeah, I think so too.
under that, but it's not a huge gulf. It's not something that's unbridgeable. We both kind of agree that there's a mechanic to it that some like that it, that it's not. That it's not I don't know that's not, I don't well I don't know so tell me this does the f is it attracting the force to the talisman or the amulet or is there something in the talisman or amulet that is emanating that force so is it something is it sort of like a magical battery that you charge by adding the correct herbs, or the herbs inherently charge themselves, or things like that.
Yeah, that is kind of how I see it, because that's kind of how I view witchcraft in general, like spell crafting in general, because you put together these certain things that have these connotations, and think, what am I trying to say? And these things that we have prescribed to them, I don't know if that's the right wording, for hundreds of years. So it's like they've taken on that, whether they had it to begin with or not, they've taken on that energy, and by putting them together in a certain way, we use that. It's almost, to me, like how I think about it, and again, not everybody's gonna agree, and maybe not even you, and that's totally fine. It's almost like chemistry. Like, you throw together certain elements or liquids or whatever, and some it just sit there, and but two others may cause an explosion. And in our case, it's kind of the explosion that we're looking for, a controlled explosion.
Right.
But
The test detonation. Yeah.
am I making sense at all? I feel like I'm talking too vague, but I don't mean to. I just.
No, I think that make well for me that makes total sense. It's interesting because I actually thought you were going to go in a different direction as a magical battery and talk about like, oh, it's your intent that charges it. It's you putting the energy into it, and then the talisman or amulet holds the charge and then emanates that out based on like so basically the stuff that you put in there is kind of the refractive lens or whatever. It's the thing that shapes the energy you put into it and then rebroadcasts it. That's kind of where I thought you were going with
Yeah,
that. So
I
you're
mean,
saying it's.
I do think it's a little of that too, without being too generic about the whole thing, without being, oh yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Yeah, I don't mean to be like that. It's just, I kind of see it that way too, a little bit, because I think you need a little bit of you putting the effort and the energy in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, so, okay, so I do think that I think you're right to say that there you're putting your energy in. For me, this is, I mean, we're basically just using two different metaphors to think about this, but I'm thinking of it as kind of like notes in music, and So, you know, you put herb number one in and it's one note. You put herb number two in and it's a different note. And then you put maybe something of you in there, there's another note, and all of a sudden you've got a chord, mm-hmm. right? And that's, you know, it's, you know, one person goes, ooh, one person goes, ooh, and you do that together at the same time, go, and you get a dial tone, right?
Right.
So it's that kind of thing. Like, so you have these two, these things that line up, and individually they're something completely separate, but if you put them together, you get something that harmonizes.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, and I think your energy shapes that, but I don't think, like, I don't think that the charge comes from you. I think you're just a piece of the shaping element from the way I do it.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Because I don't think you necessarily need to be a witch to make this work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't have to be summoning up Eldritch powers, you know? So, but at the same time, you know, I do think there's an element of intention to an intentionality to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, yes, a 3-year-old can go up to guitar and potentially put their, you know, fingers on the right frets and everything and strum a perfect C chord, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not likely.
Right. I'm liking this metaphor.
Which is funny because I don't really play an instrument.
I don't either.
So we're going to get like a... So now we've alienated the music crowd.
My husband's a big, you know... I won't say musician because he doesn't play anymore, but he's big into music. He can read music and all mm-hmm. that. I'm just like, I can read books.
Me read good.
Me read emails.
Words make brain tickle fuzzy fun. Yeah. At any rate, no, I mean, I think the music... Oh, sorry, that made a noise or not. Accidentally hit my microphone.
A little bit.
I think that the music metaphor works. I don't know that it completely answers the question of, like, where does the... So, yes, we now have the shape of the amulet or talisman in the way it's assembled, but then what's doing the strumming becomes the question. You know, where does that actual vibration come from? Mm-hmm. And for me, that is an animated... spiritual force that is drawn to that one chord that you've created. And I think for you, you're saying that maybe it's the fact that all these things are together, creates sort of a spontaneous, sort of, it's like you said, you add the two chemicals together and they react. Mm-hmm. Am I reading you correctly on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. I don't know. It's such a fine line between what we're talking about. I feel like it's just mine doesn't have my belief doesn't quite have the like I said, the personification that I feel like yours does.
Right, and again, that's a sort of an underlying worldview kind of a thing.
Right, we've talked about this a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have a slightly more animistic kind of perspective on things. But again, none of this keeps us from using the same technology. Just because we are different users approaching the interface differently to make this tape. How many metaphors can we cram into this episode? So because we're approaching this kind of differently doesn't mean that we're not using the tech the same way or that we're not getting the same results from the tech, I should say.
Yeah.
We may, you know. I'm not. I was going to go down the road with a different metaphor, and I'm just not doing that. I was about to be like, just because we, you know, we both have iPhones, but we're putting different apps on them, and it's like, no, going, stop. So, okay, so that's kind of the mechanics discussion, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's sort of how they work. You know, again, are they magical batteries? Are they prisms of intent? I think, again, you can kind of view them all different ways, but the fundamental fact of it is that this exists, this material exists. You do have these objects that can be viewed. And I think you're right. I think almost anything that is not animate can be given talismanic or emulatational? I don't know.
I liked it in the first one. Amuletic.
Amuletic. Yeah. You can give it an amuletic power. But I do think there has to be something done to it to do that. And for me, it's animating it with some sort of magical... I would use the word spirit. You might use the word force or energy.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Which is not miles apart in terms of what we're talking about. Well, cool. Okay, well then, so, you know, I mentioned I use the Hamsa hand, I use the evil eye bead. I said, you know, soldiers use the 91st Psalm or little Bibles, things like that. Those are pretty common amulets. Are there amulets or talismans that you have used and found some success in? I know you... I'm going to just kind of clarify that. One way that I think of amulets and talismans is jewelry. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of magical jewelry. I don't wear a lot of that, but I know that you wear more than I do. So what do you have on deck in that way?
I do wear a lot of jewelry. I like jewelry a lot. I used to wear a pentagram, whatever you want to call it, necklace. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. It was actually quite big, but I always wore it under clothes and never... You know, no one ever really noticed it mm-hmm. that much, or if they did, they didn't say anything about it. And that was definitely, I mean, part of it was like a young person's declaration of, this is who I am, you know.
Right.
But part of it absolutely was, it sounds very counterintuitive because I'm like, you know, I wanted it protection from people who would kind of abuse me for believing in that, yet I still wore it, like, out there. But I promise, it wasn't out there. Like I said, it was under my shirts a lot. You know, I never, like, took it out and played with it or anything like that or showed it to people. I just wore it.
Yeah, it sounds like it was kind of a combination amulet talisman in that it was, I think you were trying to draw people like you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could interact with them while at the same time sort of making yourself invisible or putting up a barrier around yourself for people that might, you know, take it negatively and do harm in some way.
Yeah, it was like a sieve.
Stop the metaphors.
I can't help it.
All right. Okay.
So yeah, mainly that necklace, but...
And you had a ring as well, right?
Yeah, it was a circle. I'm trying to think how it was. Just a black circular, metal piece with a star stamped onto it. But the star didn't extend all the way out to the circle, so it didn't look, it didn't scream like pentacle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would wear that when I wanted to be a little bit more subtle.
mm-hmm.
And then I do have just a silver ring that I wear as like a hand fasting ring on my right hand.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say that that's an amulet though.
I don't know that I'm qualified to be like, well, that's an amulet and that's not, like, I don't want to quite go that detailed with it. Just because I don't want to be like, I don't want people to coming to me and being like, what is this?
Right.
I'm not the adjudicator of talismans. although that's an awesome title. I'm putting that on a resume at some point. or a business card.
Business card.
My name's Corey Hutchison, adjudicator of talismans.
Podcaster.
But the... I don't know, the ring, the hand vesting ring sounds like it's more of a, like, it sounds like it's more of a memorial piece, like it's something you're using to remember that connection.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Because you're not trying to draw your husband to you constantly, it's sort of, if anything, it's maintaining orbit.
Yeah,
So maybe not. But then I know another thing that you've talked about on the show a couple times is something that you had made for your husband that involved a stone that he still carries in his pocket that helps. Mm-hmm. It was basically to help get a job, right? Yep.
Still carries it. It's basically become a work Oh, let's see. What would it qualify for? Talisman or amulet?
I think it was a
It is a
talisman because
talisman. It helps with luck in the workplace, absolutely. And it wasn't a bag, but the bag has since disintegrated, so he just carries the three objects with him. And it's a coin that was his growing up for, prosperity and all that. A tiger's eye for courage and, to go out there and get it and be bold and everything. And then I believe it was an emerald, like an uncut emerald, which again, prosperity and.
Right, money, knowledge as well.
Right.
No, I mean, I so that gets into an interesting question I think is worth asking, which is, you talked about that the bag is disintegrated. So when you originally made the talisman, it was one thing. It was this bag containing these things, right?
Yes.
And then that disintegrates, and now the three things, are they three separate talismans? Do they still work as a conjunctive sort of talisman? Like, could he carry just one of those things and still be getting the benefit because they're all connected?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, it's been about 10 years now. It's always impressive to me that he's never lost any of them. And he did lose the coin at one point, but he like went through everything and found it, like it's funny. It's a big deal to him, And he doesn't just carry it to work. Like we go out and he'll put it in his pocket. So.
Well, you never know. The next hand you shake may be the one that helps you up.
It's
So,
true. I think it's just become a personal talisman for him.
sorry, I'm just talking about it. Yeah, no, I mean, it's yeah. Anyway, don't have anything else to say on that
Okay.
other than I just think it's interesting because I wonder, I think when we think of a talisman, we think of something that's kind of a fixed object. We think of it very materially as it's the one thing forever. But that the one that you're talking about obviously changed over time, and I think that that's something like the that is worth thinking about is that the amulets, the way that they're used and the frequency of use sometimes might mean that they do change over time. They might, everything from, the idea of like if you're carrying a key, it's gonna get shiny if you rub it, right? The used key's always bright, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. Well, that makes me think, what about you with your mojo bags? Like, I know you do those. I mean, I don't know how frequently. I'm not there, but you do them more frequently than I. So what do you do with those? Like, how do you dispose of those, I guess? Because do you not use them enough that they disintegrate, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I do use. I mean, I use them pretty frequently. I mean, there's, I won't say I use them on a daily basis, but I do use them. There's at least, 1 or 2 days a week that I'm going to be carrying some kind of a mojo bag. And with those, again, the idea is that you have to feed them. You give them whiskey or coffee or whatever, or oil, conditioned oil of some kind, to keep them imbued with power. And from my perspective, it'd be basically you're feeding the spirit of that bag. So that maintains their power, but you raise an interesting question. So, like, if those came apart, what would I do with them? And there are specific ways that you dispose of them, either running
Running water.
water, burial in a crossroads, things like that. Just depending on what the purpose was, how they were used. And at that point, they're gone. That is done. So it's not quite the same as the one that you're talking about, where the individual components then went on to maintain their sort of talismanic power. But in the mojo bags case, once those break up, the individual components no longer. I mean, they do retain power. Like if you left them kind of lying around, it's possible, somebody could, brush up against them theoretically and, get contaminated by whatever magic is there. But the idea is that you would dispose of it because you need to get rid of whatever power was there.
Yeah. So, but like, I guess, what would happen if, for you had made one, a week before, and it just like, you had it with you. I don't know how you carry them usually. You say it's in your pocket. What if it just like bust open on you? Like, what would you do? Would you say, okay, that means it's done, and then dispose of it?
Turning into like the Speed podcast. Like, you got a mojo bag in your pocket. If you drop below 50 miles an hour, it explodes.
I believe it was 55.
Whatever. I thought it was 88 miles an hour. Wait, wrong movie. You travel through time. No, I mean, I haven't had that happen, thankfully. But, you know, any situation where that's been close to happening, like, I've noticed it. And for me, also, like, if they land on the ground, if they fall out of the ground, they either have to be completely ritually recharged, where you redo the prayers over them, you refeed them and things like that, or they're done, you know. And at that point, once they've, you know, fallen to the ground, they have to be disposed of.
Is it kind of so like that, when you're reading cards and then one, like, flips out of your deck and you're like, okay, that one is wanting to be read?
Yeah, there's no such thing as coincidence, kind of thing. Yeah. Except that they're, you know, I don't take that quite as literally as it sounds, but you know, I'm always open to the possibility that coincidence means something. Mm-hmm. You know, so with the talismans, you know, again, if they look like they're getting raggedy or broken up, I probably will retire them or dispose of them.
Okay.
So yeah, I've never had one just kind of like pop open on me, thankfully. And there, you know, I've had a few, a very, very few, where there's been a component of the talisman that I wanted to keep. So for example, there would be like a key or something in it, mm-hmm, that I'd used, and I might want to reuse that. And in that situation, I might, you know, do something to remove the magical charge from it, or remove the association within the talisman from it, so it's no longer associated with that talisman.
Okay.
So, and you know, sometimes you wind up with something that you, I don't know, changes use over time as well, so you may not use it the same way anymore. I don't know. Does it answer your question?
Yeah.
The way that, okay, good. All right. I won't. That horse is dead. I'm not going to keep beating him. All right. Are there any other talismans you can think of that you use or that you have used that you've found successful?
Not off the top of my head.
Not off the top of your head. Trying to think. Yeah, I mean, again, mojo bags are kind of the big thing. I have one little thing that I carry. It was made for me by somebody we actually have had on the podcast before, named Carolina Gonzalez. And I had ordered some things from her, and she sent this little, it's like a little pocket witch.
Mm-hmm.
It's this adorable little, it almost looks like it was like folded out of a single, like, small handkerchief and then folded and stitched with just a couple stitches to look like a little babushka pocket witch. Does that make, you know, it's like a tiny little doll.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I'm just like, I just need to have a sense of like being very witchy.
Yeah.
And so I'll, you know, carry that with me, and I'll, you know, I feed that one and I talk to it, and I sort of treat it like, you know, granny pocket witch kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that. Do you consider dolls to be talismanic or amuletic?
I think they can be. They can be talismanic to me. That's the shield one, right?
Amulet is shield.
Right. Talisman draws luck.
Amulet ammunition.
Right. Talisman draws luck.
Yes.
So yeah, it can, because dolls can, puppets, stuff like that, can draw a lot of things, either to you or to the person that you're making the doll of.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of examples here. The doll that I want to do, I still haven't done because I'm horrible. With the hot-headed person.
Yes.
That, you know, my husband works with.
Yeah.
I kind of want to cool that person down. And so that's, it's not just giving them a cool head, it's drawing calmness, even, you know, level-headedness, those type of emotions to them through the doll. So yeah, I can see that, definitely. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to, because it, I mean, that's, the dolls are, they're such a sympathetic magic kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't see the amulets or talismans as being quite as much of that sympathetic magic. Like, it seems like they're more like they have the power and then they kind of lend that power to you. But I don't know, they're also drawing power. I don't know. That's a tough question. That's a really, really tough one for me to answer.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit semantic-y.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's an argument that is a little, it's so far esoteric that it may not be worth
going down.
Yeah, going super far into. But yeah, what made me think of that is like my kids have little worry dolls, those little like, I think they're called Guatemalan worry dolls, the little tiny, like just a piece of, like a toothpick that somebody wraps with thread and clothes, so they look like tiny little people. And those are supposed to sort of protect you while you sleep or to get rid of bad dreams and things like that. Mm-hmm. Dream catchers would be something similar. So
I did used to use a dream catcher when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it, unfortunately.
It caught all the bad dreams it could catch. So yeah, you know, those are things that, and again, I'm like, oh, is that a talisman? Is that, I mean, it really, that's, again, it's a semantic thing. It's technology. It works. It's magical technology. It works. That's what it's supposed to do. So I don't worry so much about that aspect of it. It's like, well, I'm creating this magical thing, but I really need to decide if it's an amulet or a talisman before I create.
Right.
Like, I don't do that. So that's, you know, like you said, sort of an esoteric semantic point. So one thing I would like to ask a question of you about, just to see what you think on this. We talked about the idea that we usually think of this as inanimate objects, right? Mm-hmm. But we've also talked about the idea that they could be written, like there'll be little written components of them, like little charms, like a mezuzah, for example, is a Jewish amulet that gets put up on a doorpost that has a little roll so it's got that. That's, you know, that's a common component. Oh, bless you.
Sorry.
That's all right. And like when I do mojo bags, I usually include a little psalmic phrase or a psalmic passage from it, you know, something, and I'll fold that into the bag. So first I have to say, do you agree that you could have like a Seder square, which is just that Seder Arepo Tenet Opera Rotas written in a square, like on a piece of paper, and that would work as a protective amulet?
Yeah.
Or is that something else?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, is that what it's mainly used for?
Yeah, it's a protective.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really resonate for me. So it's funny, like, I don't know that it would work for me necessarily, but I wouldn't like call anybody out on them using it, you know?
Right. I'm doing this really lawyerly thing. So it sounds like I'm being kind of an ass to you.
So if you believe this, then do you believe this?
Right. Like I'm about to do that to you.
Okay.
So would you then also consider a tattoo talismanic or amuletic?
Ooh.
Or is it something else? Because now it's on an animated thing. Theoretically, I mean, I guess you could tattoo a dead thing, but let's not.
No, I absolutely can see it as one, because it's like, for me, like, again, just for me, you know, standard disclaimer, I have two tattoos. I would love more, honestly. One is basically like a memorial thing. It's, you know, something from my dad after he died. And the other just has a lot of meaning to me. I like the symbolism, without getting too specific about what it is, just because I'm weird like that. But it's an object. It has magical connotation for me, but it also has, you know, some things from childhood. And you know what? I'll just say it's not a bunny, but it's like it was like it would be a bunny. For, you know, because you guys know that I like bunnies, and they kind of have like a magical connotation in me. And then, you know, there's like a lot of books, and then like one of my favorite stuffed animals is a bunny. So let's just say, for the sake of talking about something without being too vague, that it is a bunny.
Right,
so like, okay. I'm carrying, it's for me, it's like carrying a, like a rabbit's foot with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And it, you know, every time I see it, I kind of think about the ideas that I have behind it, mm-hmm. and that I associate with it. So yeah. In short, yes, I do think a tattoo could be one, absolutely.
Do you, so would you have to, so what I'm thinking there is like, would you have, you know, if you get, so you say you get your bunny tattoo, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it could be that that bunny just reminds you of that spiritual connection. But if you specifically get the tattoo with the intention that it will work like a rabbit's foot, for example, it's going to draw, you know, fast luck into your life. Mm-hmm. To me, then you definitely have something more talismanic. Do you need to, you know, I would then be like, oh, you probably would want to feed it. You know, you'd want to like make sure it gets, you know, regular little bits of Van Van oil rubbed onto that tattoo or something like that to keep it going. Again, we're just I'm using the bunny as the.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
So I feel like that, you know, you have a tattoo that's supposed to work that way has to work a little differently than just a regular tattoo. I think so too. But I mean, yeah, I'm very much like, well, but a tattoo seems like it would totally work as a talismanic or amuletic charm.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing to bring up. I like that.
Well, I bring it up because it was one of the last questions that we were going to talk about was, you know, what talismans would you still like to try? What talismans would you still want to explore? And one of the big ones for me is I've been really drawn to the idea of like magical tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I wonder if that would fit in with talismans or is that something else? So
I think it could be, absolutely. You could even, so another thing that Judica brings up in her book that I just wanted to touch on was spoken word.
Mm.
And like saying, just even saying something over a glass of water and then having, you know, your target, whether that be you or somebody else, you know, drink that water. And then they take in those energies or spirits or whatever that you spoke it into it. So, I don't really remember where I was going with that and how that connected with tattoos, but... I think that's interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that gets into that's charm. It's like verbal charming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because I'm like, oh well, yeah. It's just the semantic thing. Like you're still doing magic. Like
yeah,
you know, this is magic. So it's, you know, if something strikes you as like I need to do this spell, and you know I'm going to do it. Don't worry about am I doing a charm or an amulet. Nobody cares.
It don't matter.
Just do it. Do the magic. But for me, like, if you're just talking about something that you speak, because I've even used the Seder charm as a spoken charm, but I don't treat it as the same way that I would if I'm carrying something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm carrying something, I have a different way of approaching it. Oh, that reminds me. So, just thinking of other things that I've carried as kind of talismans, like bay leaves in my wallet
mm-hmm.
as a money drawing. I'm throwing this out there because I'm remembering it. And I have a friend... friend who you've met as well. He's a rather tall fellow that we've met.
Ah, yes.
Yes, all right, yes. And he made a really, really awesome, and sorry to be cryptic and vague, I don't know if I have permission to say
right.
his name on the show, so. But he made a really, really neat talisman for me that I carry with me in my wallet too, so. And that was more of a sigil. So, sigils as a talisman would be another way of thinking about it, so. Anyway. So yeah, sigil magic is something else I've kind of gotten into, and I'm getting more and more interested in like how that would work in this kind of a frame.
Yeah, or tattooing that on you.
I know, right?
Like always carrying a little protection charm on you. That's just it's interesting.
Yeah, I love the idea of that, and I also love the idea of like there's then magical care and maintenance that has to be provided to it. Like you have to feed it, you know. X, Y, or Z. Even if feeding it was just like touching it and saying the charm
mm-hmm.
or something over it, but doing something to keep it fed. I don't know. I just love that.
And you've been toying with the idea of a tattoo for years, right?
I have been. I'm actually, you know, knock on wood, but I'm hoping to get my first tattoo. It won't be a magic. It'll be magical in that it's, you know, whimsical and enchanting for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not specifically going to be an amuletic or talismanic magical tattoo, but I'm hoping to get that for my next birthday.
Ooh, so, like this one coming up, or
yes.
Ooh, I'm so excited! Is it the one we've talked about before?
I have no idea.
Okay, we can talk about it after.
Yeah, we can talk about it after. So you'll get to see a picture of it once. I don't know that it's one that we've talked about before.
Okay.
But anyway.
So exciting! I'm all like, yes, tattoos. I'm so into tattoos right now because I can't get one right now.
Yeah. I know. That sucks. But you've got two. I have zero.
Right.
So I'm still only going to be 50%. Because tattoos are a race. Tattoos are
it's true.
A competition.
It's true.
Okay. Is there anything else we want to say about tattoos? Or talismans? Clearly not. Clearly we're done with the topic. And all we can talk about are tattoos now.
No, I think we got into everything I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I've covered it as well. I mean, there's lots of different branches of this. There's a book I really like called Amulets, Talismans, and Magical Jewelry, which I'll link to.
Okay.
That goes through a lot of these things. And a lot of these are, you know, sometimes we think about this stuff as being just kind of in the pagan sphere, but this talks about everything from like saints cards and rosaries to those hamster hands and things like that.
Yeah.
So, that. And then we'll link to Judica as well because she's brilliant. But beyond that, no, I think we've about covered it. There's certainly plenty of different types of amulets and charms out there. This has been really more the sort of mechanics behind it discussion, I think.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
And if you are looking for kind of new world examples of some of this, again, episode 13, we do a lot of luck charms from the new world, so those are worth checking out. Protection charms in the new world are, probably what you would expect. So a lot of like crosses and magic circles. So yeah, well, that just leaves us with, I guess, our closing up bit and such.
Mm-hmm.
Do want to let you know, we do still have our contest going on. We are doing our second audio spellbook. If you have anything you would like to contribute, we would highly recommend you do that before April 30th, Walpurgis Nacht, which is the deadline for the contest. To do that, all you do... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, where can they get details on that? Or are we going to give them again?
The comprehensive details are all up on the website, but you can... The short form is basically... we just want you describing your favorite spell using everyday ingredients. So if you've listened to some of our recent episodes, you've heard us talk about like everyday magic. Even this talismans episode is kind of like stuff we have on hand, mm-hmm. right? And we just want you to just kind of describe your favorite kind of spell using everyday ingredients. You can record it. If you record it on your computer or device of whatever kind and decide to send it in to us, try to get it in WAV or MP3 format, just because those are ones I know I can incorporate into an audio file. You would email that to us at compassingkey@gmail.com. A probably easier way, if you don't even want to go through all that trouble, if you just want to say the thing and be entered into the contest, you can call our New World Witchery hotline, which I just made sound like you're going to pay $3.99 a minute for, but no, it's free. It is 442-999-4824. That's 442-99-WITCH. And you just leave us a voicemail there. We've had a couple people do that, and that's pretty great.
That is great.
Yeah. What else do they need now?
Well, you gave the email, compassingkey@gmail.
Yep.
We have a Twitter that Corey keeps up with.
Yep. Mostly.
Which is @NWWitchery.
Yep. Facebook page, facebook.com/NewWorldWitchery.
Mm-hmm.
Good way to follow us. We do have a Pinterest board called The Old Broom. OLDE. Broom. And that is just, stuff that I find that I think is interesting to our audience and listeners.
Yeah.
If you want to follow that, it's a good thing to do.
And we also have Patreon.
We do! Patreon! What does that do?
So that is where you can support us monthly, just and then get exclusive Patreon content in addition to everything that we already put out, which is a lot supported by our Patreon supporters. We do bi-monthly chats and little special episodes occasionally, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's great fun. So go check it out if you're interested. And if you can't afford it or just don't want to at this time, that's cool. But, you know, think about sharing that with somebody who might be interested. And yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that's patreon.com/newworldwitchery. If you can, we love the support. If the financial side of it's not in your wheelhouse right now, please also feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. That's always helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Or just send us an email saying that you like X, Y, or Z, or that you were provoked and had many thoughts to think about something. We love to hear that as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's everything. We do want to thank our Patreon top level, sort of our top tier Patreon supporters, are our producers of our show. Are we going to do our back and forth? I kind of liked that.
In all seriousness, you should just cut that in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just kind of add that in every time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll attempt to do that. If not, then... I will just do my own like quick rundown of them separately.
Okay.
But
speaking of, we need to talk about, we need to thank the producers.
We do. Do you want to do that or you want me to do that?
I don't have the list in front of me, to be honest with you.
I do have the list in front of me. Perfect. So I'll do it. You can just, how about this? I'll say the name and you go and you give me an enthusiastic thank you. So these are our producers. These are people who are our top-level Patreon supporters. Big thanks to you, Diana Garino.
Thank you.
Renee Otters.
Thanks.
Ye Old Magic Shop.
Thank you.
Raven Darkmoon.
We love you.
Ivory.
Thank you.
The Witch's View Podcast.
Thanks so much.
Sarah.
Thanks.
Molly.
Hooray, thank you.
Jen Rue.
Thank you.
Athena Beth.
Thanks to you, too.
Corvus.
We love you, too.
And how could we forget Catherine?
How could we? We love her.
But anyway, we love all of them. So.
We do.
If you have other things you want to share with us, email is probably the best way to get in touch with us. We should be back again. Real soon, probably. Again, tons of material. Just gotta edit it together. So, should I tease stuff that's coming up? I never know if I should or not, because I'm like, oh, am I jinxing it? Am I like never gonna get that episode out? Is my computer gonna crash because I mentioned it?
Yeah, so. I would say just leave it. Let it be a surprise.
Okay, it's a surprise. It's fantastic stuff, though. Fantastic stuff. Cool. Lane, thank you so much for interrupting your binge watching of Daredevil to discuss Amulets and Talismans.
You're welcome.
That was very magnanimous of you.
It's funny. We came on here mainly wanting to talk about talismans when we actually meant amulets.
Yeah, we really did. We were really kind of on the amulet side of things.
Yeah,
today.
So I'm grateful for that definition, though. Indeed. I'm glad I looked that up.
Thank you, Judic Elish.
Mm-hmm.
Ever a source of wisdom and support. So, cool. Well, great. Lane, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And thank you for listening.
Be well.